Hi, I'm Dr. Howard Rankin, and welcome to The Miracle Within You, the show at the intersection of psychology, medicine, and spirituality that considers how the mind and body interact with each other to influence health and healing. With years of experience as a practicing psychologist in the health and wellness fields, and as a writer covering amazing stories of healing, I will explore with my guests how numerous factors influence our lives and our health. Thank you for listening. Hi, and welcome to this edition of The Miracle Within You. I'm Dr. Howard Rankin. I'm delighted to have with me today Myla Johansson, all the way from Northern California. And she does a lot of things. She helps people publish their books. So if you're interested in that, we can look in the show notes and you can see how to reach her. If you have a book, you want to be published and you're not going to get ripped off for while you're doing it. But she also has a fascinating story of a life story where, as you will hear, she has done many great things and her positivity has meant a lot to her and to other people. And I think it is a great lesson for us because, as you know, it's so easy for us in this material world to get misled and not even think about that aspect of our being. So, Myla, thank you for being on the show. It's great to have you.
Yes, thank you. And can I just say it is Mila, like Mila Kunis, the actress.
Oh.
Don't worry about that. I usually don't mind, but, you know. Mila Kunis, the actress. My name is Czech. She is Czech, and I'm not.
Okay.
I'm from Grimm Brothers. My original last name was Grimm, and I've written all these plays and musicals from the fairy tales that circle the globe slowly. So I kind of got something from my ancestors.
Wow, that's pretty that's pretty amazing, Myla. Tell the viewers a little bit about your background and story and, you know, how it relates here to the message of this show in terms of positivity, manifestation, health, vitality, and so forth.
Well, I've always been an incurable, admitted Pollyanna. And when I was young, we were very, very poor. My mother was a school teacher, but a single mother. And sometimes we went to bed without dinner, my brother and I. And I often went to school and I watched the other children eat sack lunches and I didn't have any. And I don't want anyone to feel sorry for me, Howard, because I just want people to know that there's still hungry children out there. They say 1 in 8, I think. And we need to look for them in our neighborhoods and make sure that they have food. And because I later on married an organic farmer. And I have had all the food I ever want. So I just want to state that right off the bat. But I was always positive. I always felt like I had money and the world was mine. And I daydreamed all the time. I don't think teachers liked me very much because my head was always looking out the windows at the clouds. And then later on, I became a writer. So I guess I was getting the exact training I needed, even though I'm not good at math. And I was a great reader. We could check out 13 books a week at the library. So I always did that.
Wow.
And read every book. And my mother raised me. She read me all the Oz books. You know, there's 14 that he wrote and then 28 because after he died, Ruth Plumly came and became a ghostwriter for him in a sense, but used her name. And she read me all the books from her perfect bound books. She had grown up in England. And then I read all the books to myself. And then later on, I read them to my daughter. And then I wrote 3 of them into stunning musicals, the first 3. So, yeah. So and they're behind me. If you see my books behind
yes.
me, I have 22 plays and musicals that circle the globe. But anyway, when we were young, I was very, very poor. And I didn't realize till recently that I was always good at manifesting. And I want to talk about that today, manifesting, because all of you can do it. We can all manifest, as I'm sure you know. And so what happened was we were driving down the street to go to church, a freeway actually. And every day there would be this lovely A-frame cabin on the side of the road, two-story, that they were trying to sell. It was a sample home, you know. And I kept asking my mom to stop. And one day there was an open house sign on it. And I said, "Mom, please stop." So she did. And I ran through the house, I ran upstairs, I ran outside, I ran on the porch and went, "Ah, I really want this house." And I thought in my 8-year-old self, I could, you know, go to my neighborhood and mow lawns and work for people and buy the house. I just knew I could, you know. So what happened was, of course, I didn't. And but I still believed it. And then when I grew up, I married an organic farmer, and I worked for him. Luckily, he got a real Cinderella, because from age 10, I had to do all the housework, and my brother didn't have to do the housework. And we lived in sort of a gangland near LA, and he was in gangs, and he didn't make it out, and I did because I was home working, and that made me a great worker for my husband, who said, "Okay, I want you to go out there and drive tractor for 8 hours." "Oh, okay. And we're going to pack now for 14 hours." "Oh, okay." I just didn't know better. I just what I did. Okay. I was used to working. He lucked out. So what happened is, then, you know, his father owned the ranch, and we lived with him when we did the harvest, because we lived in the foothills the rest of the time for quality of life. And then when his father became 90, he wanted to move in with us, and we knew we lived with him well because we always lived during the harvests with him. And he helped us build a big, beautiful home. So here I am, the girl who had nothing, now in this big, beautiful home, 4 bathrooms, 4 bedrooms, gorgeous. And one day, this is the great part, I went down the hill to pick some lavender, and I looked back up at the house, which I had never done from the front view. And it was amazing. Howard, it was the same exact A-frame home that was on the freeway when I was 8, but 3 times as big. It took 40 years, but I got the home. So I realized then, I started realizing I might be good at manifesting. You know, I always daydreamed about a wonderful man to be with, and then it turned out to be my husband, the same person I daydreamed. And I daydreamed becoming a writer. I became a writer. It's and then at a certain age, you know, I said to myself, and we all need to say this maybe, I need to keep daydreaming and imagining things so that they keep happening. And I wasn't for a while. So I want to encourage everybody to daydream what you want, think what you want, and you know, begin your manifesting now, or keep it going. Maybe you've always been a good manifester.
Yeah, and you don't realize it. Yeah. Why do you think you were like that? I mean, you certainly could have, given your circumstances, you certainly could have gone the other way in terms of being angry, feeling left out, feeling isolated, all of those things. But you chose the opposite route, which is exactly what you needed to do, and have this positive mindset and the curiosity and the intuition is very important. You do seem like a person who is intuitive, right? That you do sense things in a way that perhaps other people do not sense them or do not trust them, you know? And when you look at people, famous people who have that skill, you get a list of the most famous people in the world, from Einstein to Mozart. You know, they have a sense. They sense something different than perhaps most people, or they trust it, or they allow themselves to think and dream and embrace it. And that is a really magical component, I think, if you can develop that. And it seems exactly that's what you were able to do at a time when, as a child, you weren't thinking this through at a high level. It was just who you were.
I don't really know why, but I did have I do know that, you know, I hear in The Secret and everything, think it and it will happen. And I was just such a great daydreamer, and that's why I became a writer. I was training myself to become a writer. And now I can just imagine all my books, and I mainly write how to and memoir, but I also write, I have three novels ready that I haven't shopped yet that I really want to try traditional. Mostly I do self-publishing, which most people should do because it's easy. You can get it done in a few weeks or a couple of years. And so, but I had a famous grandmother, Jessie Haver Butler, and there's a book that I put out from her memoir called From Cowgirl to Congress. And she lived across the street. And she would have me over every Sunday and our whole family, and we would watch Disney movies. They would have them on Sundays, and she'd feed us a dinner, and she fed me, which I loved. And she, I spent the night there, and then she'd tell me all these stories, and I loved her stories of when she was a naughty little girl on a Colorado cattle ranch in Colorado, and her stories of living in London and England and all these famous people she hung out with later in life, even though she grew up in a terrible childhood situation. And so I loved being with her, and she was very positive. And no matter what happened to her when she was a child, she was very positive. So I think maybe that came into me, and she took me along later on in life. Or earlier she had spoken, shared the podium several times with Eleanor Roosevelt and taught public speaking to Eleanor Roosevelt. But in early 90s, she took me along when I was like 18. I was really a neophyte. And she spoke with Gloria Steinem, Marlo Thomas, and Jane Fonda all the time in Hollywood, because she was the elder suffragette, because she had been a lobbyist for the suffrage movement in 1920. Well, when I met Gloria Steinem and shook her hand, I was so shy. You won't believe it. I mean, now I speak, I speak all the time. I speak every week. But I shook her hand. I didn't know who she was. And I hardly looked in her eyes. Yeah, nice to meet you, real quiet. And but it really affected my life, because later on, Jane Fonda, who's a goddess, she hired me to teach, of all things, drama to a summer camp she put on for kids. And the summer camp was very interesting, because in the summer camp they had horses from the Hollywood lots, and they had all these people come and teach drama with me, like famous actors, Cher and different people. They would come for one day a week, and I'd teach drama the rest of the week. And then she had kids. Half the kids were from Cesar Chavez camps, and half were from the Hollywood mansions.
Oh,
You know,
wow.
first day I tell the kids, okay, we're on a cabin, right? I have like eight girls, 10 girls. Everybody make your bed. And I had her daughter, Vanessa, who was lovely, but she had a stepsister who said, well, I don't make my bed. I have a maid, and they're 10, right? They're 10 years old. I go, honey, there are no maids here. You just make your bed now. And from then on, and Jane even thanked me later. She goes, it was great how you made them equal, and you saved her from her stepsister, who could bully her sometimes. Thanked me personally. And then the last night, my husband and Jane cooked dinner for the entire camp. It was quite an experience, but that all came from being with my grandmother, and her taking me around. And so she really helped me. And she told me all these stories, and she believed in me. I think she was the first person who really, really believed in me. I think we need that person to believe in you. Your friends believe in you. That's a great thing about friends. They become your psychiatrists. They become, your sisters, and they love you, and they believe in you, and that's great. Because when I was really young, and you had touched on this earlier, I was made fun of, and because I was different, and I didn't have a lunch like all the other kids, and I dressed in thrift store clothes, and that was painful, I will say. But I realized something. I was different. I was different back then. And I've noticed something, Howard, is that when you're different, when you're younger, you're more popular when you're older. And being older lasts longer.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's very common, actually, isn't it? Being different, the kids of your own age at a young age, they don't know how to deal with that. You're different, they'll put you in a corner. But then as you get older, then you're mixing with perhaps older people, not just everyone your same age. And people appreciate that. And so I think kudos to you for not allowing, the almost bullying and negative view of you to influence you, which would be normal, but would not have led you at all down the path that you went. And so we can see in the amazing things that you've done and experienced, they have that foundation in that childhood ex that you created, which is an amazing story, but also a fundamental lesson for parents and adults around children. And that gets lost too easily. Anyway, let's take a short break from our great sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
The station that makes you feel good.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to The Miracle Within You. Today, I'm delighted to be talking with Myla Johansson. We're talking about how, as a young child, despite some pretty serious obstacles, she maintained a very creative and positive view. And as you mentioned there, probably partly because of your grandmother's support. I mean, she sounds like an amazing woman. And you're fortunate to have had her in your orbit there. I think it must have made a huge difference for you.
Oh, yes. She was everything to me. And I still miss her when I talk about her. Like right now, I'm barely tearing up. And I was so happy to find her her memoir when I, you know, I've been the archivist of the family. So when she passed away a long time ago in 1986, they sent me two giant file cabinets of all her work. And I knew the memoir was there. I had seen part of it. But then about 7 years ago, I thought, oh, I should get out and I should publish it because I miss her. So I started working on it. And this is serendipity. I didn't realize that the 100th anniversary of women winning the right, the vote was coming up on August 18th, 2020. So I was working on the book in like 2018, 2019. I got it together and I published it in March, right before, you know, August on 2020. And guess what? That was the month COVID hit. And I thought I'd be touring around because I'm a public speaker now because of her. And I thought I'd be touring around and speaking, you know, all over California, maybe Colorado where she lived, DC where she worked, in London where she spoke with George Bernard Shaw all the time. And I couldn't go anywhere. So I had to learn Zoom. I didn't even know Zoom. I learned all this tech. I just sat here and I took mentor after mentor. I took Iman and Robert and Danella and all these mentors, and I learned everything I could. And I mainly took tech classes because that's what I needed. And I right away, immediately started speaking on podcasts all over the world. There's these podcast sites on Facebook, and I would answer the calls, you know. And I spoke in India and Brazil and Spain and London and all over the place. And so it and then I that's what I've been doing now for 5 years, is speaking 1 to 4 times a week. Anybody asks me, I'll do it. I was just on a call with John Gray, who wrote Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, with some other people were there that my mentor had. And I mentor a lot of people, but I have a lot of mentors. And he said, I will speak on any podcast or event that you have, whether there's 2 people or 2,000 people. So I thought, okay, well, that's great, because that's what I do. And I train people in public speaking like my grandmother did. And so anyway, she affected me so much that I am following in her footsteps, and I adore her, and I'm so glad her book is out. I talk about her book a lot, From Cowgirl to Congress, coming from a terrible childhood in a Colorado cattle ranch to being on the front lines of everything in the end. You know, she put together the Pulitzer School of Journalism, set the first minimum wage for women, was the first woman lobbyist. I mean, it's unbelievable what she did
Unbelievable.
after what happened to her, you know?
Yes. Yeah, no, absolutely. That's incredible. What amazing story. Yeah. My grandmother's story isn't quite as good as that.
But it's good.
But it's a good one. She was a very good pianist. This is, early 20th century. And anyway, she hooked up with this quartet, where she was the pianist, a female pianist. That was a little unusual too. And they played down in Bournemouth, where there was a very ritzy hotel on the south coast of England. And the number of people she met was ridiculous. Lawrence of Arabia.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy royalty. Yeah, I mean, it was just nuts. So we have a little bit in common that we have grandmothers who kind of mix with the famous people, but she didn't have quite the impact that your grandmother had. But that must have been very inspiring for you to have somebody in the family like that.
She
It
saved
must
me,
have.
I'm sure. You know, interesting story is her best friend became Lady Astor.
Okay.
You know, and Lady Astor was the first woman to sit in Parliament for, and she sat there for 29 years.
No.
Well, she was an American, and I didn't know that. And she married the richest man in the world, the fifth richest man, Astor. And she had this huge mansion, and she would do these balls, and they'd have like 20,000 people, and they'd feed them. And very interesting stuff. And so they became very, very tight friends. And the interesting thing is, I have the most letters in the world from Lady Astor. That she wrote Jesse, 19 of them. They should be in a museum. And the other letters that I found that were written to someone, guess who they were written to? Lawrence of Arabia.
Oh my
He
gosh.
was her best friend.
Oh.
Yeah. And she has letters to him. There's only 8 of those, but I have 19 of other letters that I'm trying to get somewhere. And
Oh,
it's
that's
amazing.
amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd like to see those when they come out. Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I'm trying to do a new book called Dear Lady Astor, and I want to try to get it traditionally published, or I'll put it out. And I've already have a person who works for me put them all, type them up into a book format. And then the letters, luckily, Jessie, when she wrote letters, did a diddle machine or a copy. So
Right,
I have
okay.
copies of them writing back and forth. And then Lady Astor wrote the my grandmother wrote a book called Time to Speak Up, the one where she toured the United States. And she Lady Astor wrote the foreword to that, and Eleanor wrote a testimonial on the back.
Oh my gosh.
So it is who it is who you know. And that your grandmother hung out with Lawrence of Arabia, whoa, that is very cool.
Yeah. Yeah, crazy, crazy. Yeah, well, those would be wonderful things. Those would be fabulous things to get published and get out into the world. Really interesting. And so you had this positive spirit, you had creativity, and I think that's so important. And let me tell you why I think it's so important. The human brain, really, we need an upgrade on the human brain, you know. But the human brain still has its primitive structure. Now we have a neocortex that's been built over it over the years, but we still have a primitive structure. And the primitive structure, we've got a couple of problems with it. One is the human brain is limited in that it can only focus on one thing at a time. Now, you could switch, that's task switching, but it can actually only focus on one thing. And what that leads to is binary thinking and simplicity. It's either this or it's that, right? You know, if we ran into aliens who could have 10 things in their mind at any one time, well, their thinking would be unreal, but we're limited. And because the brain's primitive structure is about survival, what we focus on all the time is threat. Threat. And when we focus on threat, then what it is, we're making judgments all the time. Oh, this could be terrible. This person could be this. This person could be that. And that's so limiting and it's so destructive because it leads to all the terrible things we see in the world today, right? Hate, abuse, all that stuff comes from that. But if you are fortunate enough, like you, to be creative, to be able to sense things, to be outside that box, that's not where you're living. You're living in the land of hope, belief, positivity, not aggravation, frustration, stress, right? That's where we need to be because that is so important for our physical and mental health, as well as the survival of the human race, ironically.
You know, I've always said that what lifted people out of the mud in the Renaissance and the Middle Ages, and you know, very dark back then, many things that happened, were the people who created art, like in Florence when they had, you know, Michelangelo and Botticelli. I have a funny story about Botticelli, but anyway, that what lifted them out was the writers and the creators. They didn't have to live in the mud, because when I was really poor for a long time, even in my first part of my marriage, I would write and do things, and I was always like flying high. And I should tell you a quick funny story about Botticelli. We all worship Botticelli, right? Well, guess what? Botticelli was not his real name. His name was La 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 Papepi Da 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 something. It's in my book. It's in a book I wrote. And his Botticelli was a nickname for a little barrel that was made for his brother who was round. And so we're all worshiping a man called Little Barrel.
Oh, dear.
Funny. I love to put odd things in my books to wake people up. So I put that in one of my novels.
Love it. Yeah. We got to get people outside thinking creatively, right? Just got to get them there because it's so easy to be trapped in the material world with very limited perception, typically low energy, brought around by frustration and stress. No, that's not where we need to be. This is where the miracles happen when you can avoid that, right? That's where they happen.
In my opinion, I used to teach theater for years and years, and I had the biggest theater in town, and I did three major shows a year. With children mainly, but adults also sometimes. And I've been on stage a lot. But the thing is, I always felt like theater was a weird thing. Everybody's sitting there watching us when they should all be up dancing in the aisles too. I've always thought we shouldn't have shows. We should all be doing it. Everybody should be. I've always thought that, Howard. Isn't that a funny thought? Even though
That's a
that's.
great idea. No, yeah, audience participation, literally. Right.
That's what I thought. I thought it
Because,
shouldn't be audiences. Everybody should be up dancing in the streets.
no, because again, that's what we're talking about. Your audience, you're sitting there supposedly objectively taking this in. But that is not the same as experience, right? And participating, it just isn't. So that's a great idea. Great idea and totally in sync with what I see in you, you know, this magic of the creativity, this magic of positivity, this, hey, anything could be possible.
Anything, anything.
Yes.
You have to think it. You have to dream it. And so we got to remember to daydream. We need to remember to ask for it. Of course, in The Secret, they're saying ask for it as if it's already happened. My big novels are published and on the New York Times list and are made into movies to inspire. That's one of my new things. And it will
Right,
happen. Do
right.
you know Jack Canfield? I was on a workshop with him. It was live. And he said that he went through 148 rejections before he got his first book published. Well, what he did was, which I thought was interesting, now this is manifesting, everybody. He took the name of his book, he bought a New York Times, he put it on the wall, and he put the name of his book right there with the other New York Times bestsellers. And the rest is history. Oh, and he finally got taken by a publishing company that was going out of business. Well, guess what? It didn't go out of business.
Yes, thank you, Jack. Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, that's where the creativity comes in, and not to be look at the downside. You can't do that. As understandable as it is, and as programmed as we are to do that, that is not where you need to be.
Right,
If
exactly.
you want to manifest, if you want these things in your life, if you want the miracle, that's where you have to be. And it's so hard. I find that, for so many people, they can't do that because they are sucked into the
Yes, you have to
material world.
practice. I'm
Yes, you
practicing.
do.
I just said my thing to you guys. Now it's going to happen because you all heard it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so things are flying along here. So we have to take another quick break for our great sponsors, and then we'll be right back to hear more from the amazing Myla. We'll be right back.
The station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise, elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to The Miracle Within You. And today I'm delighted to be talking to Myla Johansson, who's been giving us some great insights into creativity, into intuition, and in many ways into spirituality, which has led to many ma manifestations in her life. So Myla, this has been great talking to you. In terms of manifestations, and do you have any other insights or stories that are relevant to that?
Yeah, I again, it goes back to imagination. Should I tell a story about me and my grandmother when I was eight?
Please.
Okay, well, when I was eight, I believed I could get that house. I don't know why all this stuff happened when I was eight. I believed I could. I went to see Mary Poppins, and I came home and I went in my room and I shut my door and I drew chalk drawings that I was going to jump into. And I can't even draw stick people still. So anyway, they weren't very good, but I closed my eyes and I jumped in. See, eight times. Nothing happened, but I still believe I could do that. I still, because through my meditations, I have soul traveled. I do know that, but I do believe that. But anyway, it didn't happen. So I thought to myself, well, if I can't make the magic by jumping into the chalk drawing, I'll start writing a book like Nancy Drew or Oz, Wizard of Oz. So then I wrote a chapter. I started writing a chapter and I wrote a page and a half and I quit because I was eight. But then later on, I became a writer. This is a secret for all of you. The main thing is to just start. Just start everything you want to be creative. When I was 18, my mother said to me, Mila, I know you've always wanted to be a writer. She was a teacher. She said, why don't you just write one sentence a day for a month? I went, well, I can write one sentence a day. Well, guess what, Howard? As you know, you can't. It's like potato chips. So I was writing a page and a half, 2 pages, and by the end of the month, I was a writer. She tricked me. So I trick people now. When they work with me, I say, okay, we don't have to do this 2-hour stint anymore. Let's just do 20 minutes. 20 minutes is all we ask. That's the word on the street. Even 5 minutes will add up to a book. Toni Morrison, the famous novelist, said she only had 15 minutes a day when she wrote her first book because of raising children and work. So that's what I want to say to you guys. The main thing is to just start. Just start manifesting. Just start painting. Just start walking. Whatever you want to do, just start. People interview me all the time for the last 40 years, and every single time they make a title, it always end up just start. Or just do it, because after they're done talking to me. So, but for manifestation, right? So that's what I think. I think the most important thing I want to impart to everybody is just start, because I heard another very famous person. Who was it? It might have been Paramahansa Yogananda, and he yeah, it was a tape he has that I was listening to, and he said, "Think what you want, but then you have to act on it." He said that, and I've heard many people say that. Think what you want and walk that way. So don't just think, oh, I'm going to manifest and it's just going to come magically. And it might, because I know some people who can do that. But for me, I kind of need to put it in motion. Like, okay, I want my book to be traditionally published, but now I've got to reach out to some publishers now. So remember that. The main thing is to think it, believe it, and say thank you. This is my new thing about manifestation. I made it up. And now it's been in several books because I do a lot, I'm in a lot of anthologies about manifestation. And so ask lightly. Don't ask like, oh God, and don't ask like, don't let that happen. Don't you want to ask for what you want to happen? That is a terminology I've had to train myself over. I was good at manifesting, but I would say, oh God, don't let this happen all the time. And so I've had to learn to say, I'm whole, I'm happy, I'm healthy, the right person showing up tomorrow, whatever it is. So here it is. Here's the three things. Number one, ask lightly, believe, and say thank you. Be very grateful. Always say thank you before it happens, and assume it's going to happen, and it will. You may have to practice. It may take some practice. What do you think, Howard? Practice on
No,
that?
I agree. I agree. I think those are all great. But in the end, it does come down to doing. You have to take the responsibility for doing the things that will potentially open the door for things to happen. And, I personally believe that a prayer to God said, oh, please give me this or give me that or give me that. That's going to end up in his God's, what I call God's spam folder, because I don't think he's interested in that. That's
I
not what
think
it's
that's
about.
good. Yeah,
I don't,
spam folder.
don't give me stuff. Don't show me. Give me the motivation. Give me the inspiration. Tell me what I need to do. I need to do, right? You can't be passive. Can't
Right.
be passive. You got to be active in this, right? And as you act, writing a few words a day, whatever it is, as you act, you're doing it. And you're generating more energy and more positivity, and it's very focused. So, yeah, you have to be involved. You can't just say, oh, please let it happen and sit back and wait for it to happen. I don't think it's going to happen, right?
Yeah, and I heard that from Paramahansa, then I heard it from some other leaders, and on The Secret, because I told people what I've been saying, ask lightly, believe and say thank you. And my friend, a couple friends said, Mila, that's the secret. I go, well, I didn't read the secret because when I read a spiritual book, I read one sentence, I have to think about it all day. Now I have it on tape and I've been listening and it is what I've been doing. And I didn't realize it's just a natural thing. In that book too, they say that many people did it without the training. Rockefeller did it. Jack Canfield did it. Many people from a long time ago did it. And so it's just feeling positive, believing that it's going to happen for you. And I think that's so important. And so to hear that, I just loved it. Oh, I should tell you one more cute story about me and my grandmother. This is funny. And it's about me believing, right? Okay, so I'm 8 again. Maybe I'm 9, maybe I'm 7. I don't know. But we lived across the street from her, thank God, because then she took care of us. And I kept seeing all these women dressed to the nines going to her house because she's very famous, and having tea, and they knock on the door and they had hats and everybody wore hats then. And she was a great hat wearer. And so what happened was I thought, well, I've got to go and pretend that maybe she'll let me in. So I went to my mother's room and I put on a dress way too long that tripped me and some high heels that are way too big and all this jewelry and a goop of makeup on. And I trudged over across the street. I don't know if she saw me coming or what. And I get to the door and I knock on the door and she goes, hello. And I go, and I put my hand in the air. I've come to visit. I put on some kind of voice. And she goes, well, come on in. And she brought me in the house and she gave me tea and cookies. And I think the guests that day probably ate too many cookies. But the thing is, then she, I, after about an hour of us visiting, I trudged back across the street and just giggled myself to death because she believed, she never knew. Of course, I was short, And she never mentioned it again.
She didn't realize it
And
was you.
yeah. Well, she did, of course, but I never didn't know that. I thought she believed it until a certain age. When I, even adult, I finally thought back over, oh my gosh, she must have seen me coming, or she just played along. And what a great thing. And we never mentioned it ever. Is that the funniest
No,
story?
that's great. Well, it says a lot about her, though, her willingness to enter your world, as it were, and just go along with it, you know? That's a lovely story. Yeah,
Cracks
absolutely.
me up.
And you know what we're talking about, you do have to believe. It's so important. You have to believe. And I have a saying that I've had to use in my life to help me out of difficult situations. Something bad happens, quotation mark, bad happens. I encourage people to ask themselves in that situation this question. If this were the best thing that ever happened to me, what do I need to do? Right? What do I need to do? Two emphases there. One, the perception is going to turn to positive, to opportunities, not losses. And then I have to do something. I have to take action. This is really what you're saying.
I
And
love that.
I think that's huge.
I had a friend who helped me one time. She's a little older than me, not much. And I still know her. And she said to me, I was worried about something when I was younger. This is like 30 years ago. And she said, Mila, just ask yourself, what's the worst that can happen if? And I've said that many times to myself. What's the worst that can happen if? Okay, well, I'm going to be late. Well, I'm never late because I don't believe in wasting people's time. But the thing is, if I'm late, okay, I'm late one time. It's not going to hurt. Or if this and that, unless it's death, then that's bad. But what's the worst that can happen if? And most situations are very small.
Right, absolutely. But again, the primitive brain jumps to conclusions and amps it all up. Oh my God, I'm going to be late. Oh no, what are they going to think of me? Oh, yikes, what a waste of time and energy. And it's more than a waste of time and energy. It's a very negative spin that echoes throughout you. It's your identity. That's what we have to move on. That's why I love your story, because that's what you've done. That's what you've done, and just been amazing. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I just remembered one other person my grandmother knew pretty well,
Who?
Arthur Conan Doyle.
No, really?
Yeah.
Impressive.
Yeah, very. Yeah, actually. I've written a lot of books, and all but one is nonfiction. But I did write a fiction book last year. Sherlock Holmes versus artificial intelligence.
Oh, now that could be interesting. Yes. That, it's funny. I was really against AI until Christmas because it's ruining the book market in a way that, they were, some people were doing 100 books a day. Amazon finally had to say, okay, 10 books a day, that's all you can do. And I was just like, oh God, it's just ruining everything. But then I realized around Christmas that it's here to stay. I might as well have fun. So I went on ChatGPT and I made a picture of myself as a glamour puss. It looks really good. Then I did one of me and my husband as low. I said, but here's what I've learned about it. Just be very descriptive and the picture will come out right the first time. So I did make my husband and I Lord of the Ladies of the Manor in the 1800s in green velvet outfits.
Oh, I
Wow,
love it.
beautiful. They put that around. Then the other one I did was I have this picture of a woman on a unicorn that I've always put out. It says, someone told me I'm delusional. I almost fell off my unicorn. And so I t asked AI to put me on the unicorn, and now that's my new picture, and I'm thrilled with it.
Yeah, great. Yeah, AI can do some amazing things. Really amazing things. AI is wonderful at doing stuff. Okay. But I like to make that distinction that we have the opportunity. Yes, we can do stuff, but it's also being, not just doing. And that is the important thing. AI can't be a being. Wonderful at doing. But in the best case scenario, as AI does all this work for us, we can focus more on being, not just doing stuff, right? Focusing on the right things.
Yeah, that's it. And maybe to enhance this, like now me on the unicorn. I'm just crazy about this picture. I have put that picture on my Facebook for 4 years, and now it's me.
Yeah, you manifest yourself, right?
Well, that's true. That is a form of manifestation, I
Yeah.
guess.
Yeah, it really, really, really is. Well, this has been a delightful conversation. Really has been great. Now, before we go, please tell our listeners if they want to find more about you or what you do and so forth, where can they do that?
Well, please find me at my name, Mila Johansson, at milajohansson.com. And my
Okay.
company's called From Pen to Published, and I just helped 6 people publish their books in the last 6 weeks. And I love making it easy, fun, and very affordable. And so milajohansson.com is the best way to find me. And we'll have a lot of fun together. Just go check it out and see if there's anything on there you want to do.
Right. Yes.
Oh,
And
your dream has
your
come true.
dream. Manifest your dream.
Yeah,
Manifest with Mila, right?
I love that I'm helping people realize their dreams of becoming published authors. I love this. This is so fun.
You know, it is. It's wonderful, isn't it? But also, you told me something that, we should also share with the audience that you and your husband donate a lot of food to people who need it.
We are we were the pioneers in organics for the last 50 years, especially my husband with another man who was the guru of organics, Amigo Bob, even though organics have been historical. But as far as the new movement, he and my husband were the main organizers and perpetrators and pioneers.
Of what in terms of,
Organic food.
oh, really?
Organic farming, how to grow, and the cultural practices are very involved. And we grow mandarins and citrus, and Meyer lemons and blood oranges, every kind of citrus. And I'm from LA. I thought mandarins grew in a can, and he put me right to work.
Amazing, really amazing. So, check out Mila Johansson. Great stories. Thank you so much for being on the show. Very inspiring. And just keep up the wonderful work.
Thank you, Howard.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Miracle Within You. Join me next time when I continue to explore the power of the mind-body and how it can be employed to enhance health and healing.